At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Drift Bar in the Heights, perfect spot to watch your college football, your pro football, UFC 309 tomorrow. Best patio, and it's finally patio weather. Best patio in the Heights. Let's go out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by DJ Bienema, covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. DJ, how could you best describe why the Texans haven't scored a touchdown in the second half of the last four games?
If you ask the Texans, they're going to say adjustments. I mean, not adjustments. They're going to say execution. If you ask, you know, people outside of the building, they're going to say adjustments. I think that I don't want to say there's too much being put on the players. I don't want to say that. I would say that I think that they need to do a better job of countering when teams start to pick up what they're trying to do. Because the first half, right, it's a lot of not only trickeration, but it's a, you know, defenses are kind of caught flat-footed when they're seeing what you're doing. And then you got to make adjustments to that. You know, and then they obviously in-game make those adjustments, the defense that is. And it seems like at halftime, teams aren't, the Texans' offense, per se, even a little bit of defense, they aren't doing much to, like, counter now that teams are trying to take away what they like to do. They're just saying, we just got to execute better. And that's a fine line, you know, because, right, if players execute better, right, let's say if the receivers last week get open against man coverage, maybe it's not an issue. They win the last game. Or if protection is better against the Jets, maybe they win that game, right? So you can say that, but I think there are times where you have to find ways to overcome the adjustments in the second half. And, you know, I don't want to say try new stuff, but, yeah, I would say try new stuff, right? Because, like, there's a lot of times where they're just doing the same things, and it's like, bro, like, team is on to you now, you know? So I would say the way to fix it, in my opinion, is just to counter their counter, you know, instead of trying to out-execute. Yep. The team in front of you, you know, because they get paid money to stop you too.
DJ, I'm curious. I heard you talking to Paul the other day, and it caught my ear a little bit that, you know, the guys are that, you know, between D'Amico and Bobby, they're you know, saying they don't hear the noise. They don't hear the outside. They're not looking at things. But I'm curious because you have your finger on the pulse inside that locker room, and when you and Paul were talking about the players maybe being concerned whether they're being out-coached or the fact that they're, you know, they want to know, you know, what is to this whole thing where the offense sputters in the second half, they're not scoring touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, you could find any, like, you talk to the locker room, like, you'll get a various amount of answers, but I think it just all comes back down to the players just got to play a little bit better. I think that's what it really comes down to. I don't think that they're necessarily hearing noise because of, you know, a decent amount of the starters, not all of them, but a decent amount of the starters aren't on social media during the season. It's not on Twitter, because I swear that you see most of the discourse. But I would say that, you know, they're not really buying into the noise outside. They're trying to figure out a solution. But the issue is there's not – when you talk to guys, there's not going to be a consensus. That's what the biggest problem is. If there's no consensus, how do you all come together for a solution? Right? Everybody has a different opinion on why they're struggling a little bit. Hopefully, you know, when Nico Collins comes back, that can give a little boost, score more points in the second half. But to be fair, even with, you know, I don't want to – we shouldn't, you know, project Nico as the savior because – outside of Kirk, right, he played week two, three, well, obviously week one, two, three, four, and five. In week two, three, and four, the Texans only scored, if my memory serves me correct, 3 plus 7, like 17 points. So they scored three against the Vikings in the second half. And then against the Jags, they didn't score until the last drive of the game. And then against the Bears, they only scored 3 points. And obviously, against the Bills, he got hurt early. So the thing is, they start out strong. They just have to figure out how to sustain that. And I think the best way to sustain that, in my opinion, is to find, is to counter the counter, right? Because I remember there was a play against the Lions, right? So the play that the Texans scored a touchdown on with John Metchie, right? They tried to run that again when they got into the red zone. And obviously, it didn't work, right? Because I think, like, teams obviously have an idea of what you're trying to do, and it can beat you to the punch and beat you to that spot, right? So I would say that they got to just counter their counters, right, and dig deeper into their playbooks in the second half.
I'm going to have to go check the math on that, DJ, because if you just pull that off, that might be the most amazing recall that I've ever witnessed. Remembering the schedule and then the amount of points they scored early in the week, that's ridiculous. Nico Collins is back, but Will Anderson is out. This would be his third significant ankle injury. Missed two games last year, missed parts of training camp this year. Now he's going to miss his second game, maybe more, we'll see. When do we get concerned about Anderson's ankles?
I wouldn't be too concerned, especially this year, because he hasn't gone on IR. I don't think these would be concerned if they go on IR. I think he'll be fine. Like I've seen in the locker rooms, like, man, it's fine. Like, it's just, you got to get to the point where you can play football on it. But he's fine. Like, it's not, that's not something I would worry about. For him, it's just really bad luck. It's not like he out there running around and, like, it's just tweaking out of nowhere. Like, guys are rolling up on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one against the Jets, like, come on, really fell on his ankle. Like, if that was all of our ankles would be hurt too, you know? So I think it's just more of that. He's just more bad luck. You know what I'm saying? If he had, like, for me, if he had, like, soft tissue injuries, I'd be more concerned, but he doesn't even have that.
DJ, I'm looking at this Cowboys game. We're all looking at it. We're expecting a big victory. Is there any reason to believe that the Cowboys – I don't think that motivation has anything to play into it at this point, but they know that, you know, they've failed so far this season. McCarthy knows he's basically a dead man walking. We would expect that the Texans would, you know, win convincingly. Is there any reason to believe that this one might not be that easy?
I think there's a chance, but I think they're going to win by, like, at least three. I think they're going to win by at least two scores. I predicted on KPRC that they'll probably win 31-10. But, I think they're going to win by at least two scores, like at least 14. I just think that they got a really bad taste in their mouth in that last game, like a really bad taste in their mouth. And I think that this is an inflection point, right? I think that, obviously they lose this. They can get it. If they lose this, they can start letting go of the rope from a psychological standpoint. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think they're really itching for a blowout win. I think getting a blowout win will give them some relief. They're at the point where squeaking by isn't going to have a negative effect on the psyche of the team. Because the team has so much expectation of themselves, and they put so much pressure on themselves that squeaking by in a game like this, when they know the Cowboys aren't good, they know the Cowboys have flaws, they know that this is a game where they should get right. And if they don't, they're going to continue to ask themselves more and more questions and continue to start questioning themselves. So I think this is a very, very important game in that aspect because, you know, guys are starting to – because, again, there's a lot of questions but not a lot of answers, right? And I think that they need one, they need a blowout victory, and they need to beat a good team. And I think that obviously they beat the Bills, but – that's not really – I mean, I'm not saying that's not saying much. That matters, and that obviously helps. But, you know, it's all about what you've done for me lately. So all the good teams that they've played lately, they've lost to, or good-ish teams they've lost to, right? The Packers, the Lions. So they kind of need, you know, some good juju. And obviously this is one of those boxes they got to check, which is a blowout win on the road, you know? So I think that they're going to come with it. Come with the energy that they need. They really have a bad taste in their mouth after that last game.
DJ Bianame joining us on the HRNP guest line. DJ, what was your impression of the new configuration of the offensive line? How do you think they played?
I think they're solid, but I think that it's funny. Kenyon Green, him being out, you kind of lost some of that run blocking ability. Obviously, he's a lot, major liability in the pass blocking. He's also a run blocking ability, and I think that hurt the run game. Obviously, you know, we'll see how it looks this week. I think it'll look fine. I think from a pass blocking standpoint, it was solid. I think it was solid, but again, if you're going to lose the running game, if the trade-off is you go from solid, you know, from poor pass protection to solid pass protection, but you go from good run blocking to terrible run blocking, I think that's not worth the trade-off. I mean, I mean, that's a terrible trade-off at that point. But we'll see. I wasn't overly impressed because, for me, like, if you can't run the ball, it doesn't matter for me. Because, like, we can be honest. Like, this team isn't going to go as, quote-unquote, as far as CJ and weapons take them. They're going to go as far as the run game along with CJ and weapons take them. Like, they can't – it can't be one or the other. They need both. So, for me, you need both to be clicking. And if both are clicking, then all right, let's go. But if not, that's when things can get a little worrisome.
DJ, I'm curious with you saying that on a two-parter there. Because, for me, how much was it that the offensive line didn't do a great job, and how much was it, give the Lions D-line credit, they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher in quite a large amount of games. And then from the standpoint of looking at the adjustments that they made on the offensive line, there was references made to the fact that Patterson did a really good job kind of, you know, getting them quicker into calling out the reads of the defense and doing the things they needed to do, that you could say, was he better at center? Was it more of Juice's problem? Who played better there, as well as do you think it was more of a discredit to the offensive line or a credit to the ability to stop the run that Detroit's had all season?
Well, either way, right, so Detroit has a really good defensive line, and they're really good at stopping the run. But Baltimore is the number one ranked run defense in the league in terms of yards allowed per game. The Steelers are fourth at 87.1 per game, and Kansas City is third at 82.1 per game. So, and then the Chargers are top 10, they're ninth at 110. So the teams you're going to see, you're going to have to see in the playoffs are good at stopping the run. So I got here, like, okay, Detroit is good at stopping the run. So you're going to face teams that are good at stopping the run in the playoffs. That's the playoffs, the playoff football. So for me, that's not a good excuse. So for me, like, you know, it's game one, and obviously it wasn't a good display in terms of run blocking. We'll see, and as the weeks go on, can it continue to improve in that aspect? Obviously, you know, you're putting two guys in two new spots because Patterson was at left guard when he played, and then Juju was at center. They basically flipped. So if we get, you know, the benefit of the doubt, but they'll get better, but it has to get better because in the playoffs, if you – this offense has shown you that if you put it all on the arm of CJ and the weapons, at least this year, the returns have not been as good because of poor pass blocking or pass blocking issues. I think that this week, you know, when you get to the playoffs, outside of Baltimore, the type of defense is boo-boo, so they'll be able to do what they got to do. In that scenario, they'll be able to move the ball through the air. So we play in Pittsburgh, Kansas City, like, those are going to be some tough battles. And obviously Buffalo, like, that would be a tough battle in that aspect, too, in terms of just being able to throw on them all day. So I think that they're going to have to be able to run the ball to be able to get to where they want to get to, right? Because if they lose in round one, it's probably going to be because they're going to run the rock. And if they lose in round one, this season will be viewed as a, not an abject failure, but for sure very disappointing, and probably some people will call it a failure.
DJ, enjoy your weekend. Safe travels up to Arlington.
I shall. I'm getting there on Monday.
All right. That sounds good. That way you can have a good weekend, buddy. That's smart. DJ Bienname joining us on the HRNP guest line, covers the Texans for ESPN and ESPN.com. When do the Texans start feeling pressure? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business, right here in the Med Center. You don't have to fly to all these different places to explore all these different things. Doc Linville, right here in Houston in the Med Center, the best in the business at getting your hair back. If you're a guy and you've got pattern baldness or thinning spots and you don't think there's anything you can do about it and you don't want to get involved in any kind of sprays, creams, foams, or gimmicks, this is where you need to at least explore the possibility instead of just succumbing to the fact that you just think you're going to go bald. The fact that Doc Linville can get you results is one thing. The fact that he'll give you a free consultation because you're listening to me right now is quite the other. No commitment, signing on the dotted line, or money out of pocket. You get a free consultation that normally costs $150 just because you listen to us. If you go to 975hair.com, sign up for that consultation. Go in. They'll explain to you how the NeoGraft procedure works, which I've had, and the PRP treatments, which can be done, which I've also had experience with. They do a fantastic job at literally getting your own hair back. And simply put, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He can repurpose some of that, put it where you need it, where you've got bald spots, and that is exactly what the NeoGraft procedure is. The PRP treatments, it's like fertilizing that lawn. It's like taking hair that's there but not as thick and strong as it once was and getting it back to the way when it was at its best. And it's all done right here, and you get the consultation to figure out if it's something you want to consider doing because you're listening to us at 975hair.com. Go there now. Sign up for the appointment. Tell them I sent you by because I can't speak enough good things about Doc Linville and his staff. They're the best in the business.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Drift Bar in the Heights, your tropical escape in the Heights. Beautiful, beautiful patio. Best patio in the Heights. Weather is perfect. It is finally patio weather, so get to the best patio in the Heights to enjoy the patio weather. It's also the perfect spot for your Christmas parties and your company parties. So book now the Drift Bar. Good to have DJ on. Dell asked a good question earlier today, and it caught my attention, and I wanted to talk about it. When do the Texans start to feel pressure? When do you think they start to feel pressure, Blankers?
I honestly think they felt a little already. I think that When you have the start that they've gotten off to, regardless of how you want to, you know, just dissect how much did they win by and were they supposed to beat those teams or not, at a certain point when you know your division starts 0-2, you start out 2-0 and then you keep building on it, and then you get to the point where they're at now where on national TV 2 weeks in a row, you basically crap the bed. And then, you know, it's kind of like what I said to DJ, you know, the coaches want to say that they don't hear all that stuff. But it's inevitable that the way that the players are getting the questions after practice every day and the talk, they hear it too, and they know it's there. But now, at least to the standpoint of the schedule, it looks like what we've all been talking about, they should win the next three games. If they find themselves in a dogfight or, God forbid, they lose one of these next three games, that's when it's really going to get ramped up because now everyone, coaching staff included, the general manager, everybody's going to start feeling a whole lot of pressure in the fact that they're underachieving at that point instead of a team that had high aspirations.
Yeah, I think that they're there too. I think they're feeling the pressure, and some greater than others. You think Bobby Slowick today, whenever he addressed the media, wasn't feeling pressure for an offensive coordinator?
Sure.
That hasn't had an offensive touchdown in the last four games? You don't think he's feeling pressure? Bobby Slowick today was asked, what gives you confidence that you're the man to call plays for this offense? Bobby Slowick's been feeling the pressure for the last few games now. And I think that also spills over to the rest of the offense. I mean, C.J. Stroud threw his helmet a few games ago. Like, yep. How often do you see C.J. Stroud do that? Cool, calm, collective C.J. Stroud throwing his helmet? He needs to play. Yeah, he did.
He was throwing things too.
Yeah, I mean, the first time we've ever seen Joe Mixon get mad in his entire life. He spilled over to the Houston Texans sideline. I've never seen that sort of aggression from Joe Mixon. So you've seen it from Stroud. You've seen it from Mixon. How about the offensive line? You don't think the offensive line's been feeling pressure? Like, all the talk that you're hearing about is that they're going to ruin C.J. Stroud, that they're going to ruin his development, that he's going to see ghosts for the rest of his career because he's getting hit every single time he drops back, and the pressure rate's been extreme. So they're feeling that pressure. I think D'Amico Ryans is starting to feel it a little bit for the first time. I don't think that it's been anywhere near the offense. I don't think it's been anywhere near Bobby Slowick. But we're talking about, all of a sudden, we're talking about D'Amico Ryans' ceiling now, recently. We weren't having that conversation 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So, and look, I don't think that he's necessarily feeling that. I think D'Amico Ryans very comfortable in his own skin, and I think D'Amico Ryans has a lot of confidence in what he's doing. And D'Amico Ryans went to the playoffs last year and is probably going to go to the playoffs this year. So D'Amico Ryans' seat is not warm or anything like that. But the narrative is starting to build a little bit. some people are trying to accelerate the narrative and act like people are saying that D'Amico Ryan's the people are calling for his job, which is ridiculous. Nobody credible has said that. But, yeah, the offensive staff and the offensive players, I think, have been feeling the pressure already, and I think you're starting to see that overfill a little bit to the other areas of the team.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that the playoffs was always the first goal. And every team will tell you at the start of the year, we set goals, and the first goal is always to make sure we get in. And then it's to win the division. And then it's to win a playoff game. And then you go from there. Well, the fact that they started out the season 2-0 and the rest of the division was 0-2 has basically kind of given them, yeah, that Colts game had a little extra meaning a few weeks ago. But now because you have the tiebreaker on the Colts and you have the two-game lead, it's never really been in question. If it gets close, if it starts getting tight, that's where they're going to get even tighter. And then, like I said, if they drop one of these next three, now it's really going to ramp up because they know that everyone is really going to look at them. And don't forget the fact it's another national TV game. If they lose against the Cowboys, there's no one that's going to give them a single sliver of hope that they're going to be a team to be reckoned with come playoff time. And that is what matters to all these guys. If it starts getting tight, if they start worrying about their playoff spot being in jeopardy, I think that's where it gets even more ramped up, and there's going to be more significance to how they're feeling from day to day.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because right now the pressure that they're feeling really isn't within the division. The pressure they're feeling is more competing against the expectations they set for themselves, right? Like, they're not worried about the division right now. They're not. I mean, I don't think that they are. They have a two-game lead, practically three, because you own the tiebreaker, and the Colts right now are dysfunctional, although I am intrigued to see what they look like with Anthony Richardson again. But they're competing with the expectation of what we thought from the 2024 Texans. That's where the pressure is coming from. That's where that conversation of when do they start feeling it comes in. And not playing well. And the offense hasn't been playing well. Defense has. That's why I think the offense has felt more of the pressure than the defense. 0-8-3-5, CJ has to get rid of the ball faster. There is truth to that. I would agree. 6-9-6-7, I honestly think they've been under pressure all year. The expectations alone. Slow it calls plays to preserve leads, not to pull away from opponents, take zero risk because they don't want to jeopardize W's. I don't disagree with that take, really, Blankers, but like the idea that this is a conservative offense because of Bobby Slowick alone, I don't really think is fair to Bobby Slowick. Like, D'Amico Ryans has proven time and time again to be very conservative as a head coach. D'Amico Ryans has been on record giving an interview talking about how when they get into scoring range, all he's thinking about is we don't want to give those points up, so let's kind of be careful. So yeah. I don't think that it's all Bobby Slowick. I think that it is a reputation of the Houston Texans in whole that they are kind of a conservative football team, and I think it starts from the top, quite frankly.
I don't think you're wrong, and they've harped on the fact that they want to be a running football team, and that kind of lends itself to that. And then even when you think, Jeremy, if you want to take it to another level about what CJ said this week, about whether he said it flat out like you just described it, or he just kind of admitted the fact that he's not ripping it. He knows, like, the throw to Tank and the out route that got picked and some of the other throws, that he's more conscious and maybe thinking it too much in the fact that he's not just seeing and knowing what the right read and play is and ripping it and getting it to his receiver. And that might be part of the same thing, that maybe they're being conservative. They got a big lead. So instead of thinking about, let's put the nail in the coffin, let's bury them, they're thinking about, hey, if we don't blow this thing, we've got five turnovers, we should be in a position that we can get this thing to the finish line. And that's not the way you think in professional football, because as much as we say in the NBA, you know, it's the NBA, everybody makes a run, they all come back from a deficit. In the NFL, you're not supposed to come back from the deficit and the picks that Goff gave you and gifted you in that game. And that's where maybe there's conversations internal that we're not privy to, that they're not talking about, of I think we all got to stop trying to be so conservative and being so worrisome about making the next mistake and thinking about how do we just put the pedal down and do what we're capable of doing.
The texture brings up a good point. They've already had like three team meetings. They have, which is kind of odd. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea that they're feeling the pressure a little bit. I don't think that you're having team meetings when everything is like sunshine and rainbows. So,
right.
Yeah.
Hey, did someone really put – who's? I don't even know if you know this, but someone really positioned that question to Bobby today about does he think he's the guy that should be calling the plays for this team?
Yeah, I just had the I listened to it earlier, and then I had the transcripts up. Let me try to find the exact
– That's pretty ballsy for someone in the Houston media. That's very unlike Houston media.
It was Landry. I mean, Landry has no problem shaking up a little bit.
Yeah,
he said, it was asked, why should people believe that Slowik is the one to get the offense back on track? I mean, people have asked that to O'Brien in the past. I think Houston media gets a little bit of a bad rap at times. Like, they're not going to sit there and pepper you over and over with the same question, but the tough questions get asked. Like, which tough question has not been asked to the Houston Texans this year? I'll defend the media here a little bit. I am not a media member. I'm not a journalist. I don't write. I don't have insider information or anything like that. But what tough question has not been asked to the Houston Texans
this year? This year, you could say that they've called them out on the offensive line, but you and I have had this conversation multiple times over the last couple years about the fact that we had said someone should be asking this question or that question, and we know that with very few exceptions, there's few that want to be as outspoken and are willing to push it as far as, you know, like Barry Warner used to do. And Barry, at the time when I, you know, saw him doing it, wasn't in his heyday by any means, but he was the one guy that wouldn't take, I'm not answering that, or, you know, not, you know, call you out by name like O'Brien used to do and then expect you to go away. It's not New York, L.A., Chicago in terms of the attack mode of the media.
Is L.A. that way? I thought it was mostly North.
They can be. They can be. They, you know, again, they've got a few that kind of dabble in national as well as whatever they're doing locally with the L.A. papers and stations, to where they're not afraid to ask, but it's more aggressive East Coast, Boston, New York, Philly, and then to some degree Chicago.
See, I think that Houston, for the most part, will ask the tough question. It's just I think they take whatever for an answer, and then they don't press on it. Where it's, okay, here's the hard question. I'm going to ask you the hard question. They allow the subject to basically say whatever they want, dance around it, and then they won't keep their feet to the fire. To me, that's the biggest difference, because you go up to, like, Philly, or you go up to, like, even Boston and stuff, and it's like, okay, I'm going to ask the difficult question. They're going to dance around it, and then I'm going to ask the difficult question again. They're going to dance around it, then I'm going to ask the difficult question again, and you get peppered with the same question, basically, over and over again. I don't feel like you get that in Houston. I feel like that's the difference.
I think that's part of it, because I think, like, if you heard the back and forth with the guy in the media that asked Steichen about going back to Anthony Richardson, he basically asked the question, well, what does he specifically have to get better at? What are you talking about when you say that he has to get better throughout the process? What can you tell me? And, you know, Steichen gave him the basically answer of he's got to get better throughout the process. And Houston media would have gone away. And to his credit, he went back and goes, can you define that for me? Can you tell me what in the process he isn't doing well? Can you? And at that point, you've done your job. And if they're still not going to answer it, it's probably at that point not worth the fight.
Yeah, I think that's like, and you're right. Like, they've missed some, like, hey, this needs to be asked, and it's not asked. But I think for the most part, they do a good job. I think they get a bad rap with the whole tough question thing. I just don't think that you get the peppering that you see other places. 3-3-3-8. Honestly, the offense in the second half is a joke. They don't score. They don't move the ball. It's like night and day from the first half. It is. It's weird. Yeah, I think it is adjustment. Also, what in the heck happened with Christian Harris? See, that's been asked. D'Amico dances around it, and it's been rumored that he's going to be back after the bye. You know, don't hold your breath on that. This texter saying, try saying Jared Goff fast. That was Devin. Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared Goff. I hope that's what you were looking
for. Jared Goff, Jared Goff,
Jared
Goff, Jared Goff. I mean, why is that so hard?
I don't know, but it was easier for me than you.
Well, you slowed down. I tried to do it as fast as I could. I tried to do like a BMAC read in this commercial.
Oh, shots fired. All right, BZ Money.
BMAC,
we've been dominating.
Fast.
We've been dominating BZ Money, except for last week. We didn't dominate last week. But we're up money. We're up money. Do you want to win money? We'll listen to BZ Money next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you a little bit about Stella Rosa Wines. Stella Rosa Wines are absolutely perfect for any time you get people together and you are all hanging out at your house or you're going to somebody else's house, because it gives you a third option to hard liquor and beer when you're sitting there looking for good cheer and having fun, watching sports, watching games, and enjoying the conversation with your friends. They go with anything that you're serving, because there's a variety of different flavors to choose from. All those flavors use all natural fruits along with just the right amount of spice to complement whatever you're serving, from wings and pizza and chips and dips to so much more. The Stella Rosa wines are perfect, and they are tailor-made for you because they're convenient to get to. You can get them at your local convenience store. You can get them at your grocery store as well as your liquor store. And they're going to make you look like a super host or a fantastic guest, depending on where the party is. Because if you bring them and people enjoy them and you serve them chilled, they're refreshing, just the right amount of alcohol, not too much, not too little, so you don't have to worry about pacing yourself as much, people are going to enjoy them, and they're going to let you know that you made the right call. Check them out today. Go to your local retailer and check out some Stella Rosa wines the next time you're getting everybody together for that big game and all those snacks.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
This guy takes some shots and gets sick of it. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Drink specials all the time. UFC 309 tomorrow. College basketball, college football, your spot for all college sports. Beautiful weather, finally. Beautiful weather, and they have the best patio on the Heights. Take advantage of the patio weather. Drift Bar, where the Southern Coast meets a true Texas ice house. So let's get to BZ Money. Killer Bees have been rolling this year. We're up over $100, almost up $200. We're up to $1,170 in our bankroll. We weren't 2-3 last week, but don't tell anybody that. I'm still in first place at the very, very top, 11-7, with a dominating, controlling lead in the standings. By a half game over Blankers, who's 2-7-1, and then Brian mediocre, Brian mid Donald, more like it, at 9-9.
Wow! Well played, sir. Well played. I like that.
You're selling to us.
First one I'm selling to you is the less than mid Tennessee Titans against the Minnesota Vikings.
The Titans are mid?
I said less than mid.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee
okay,
Titans.
Okay. All right,
yeah.
All right.
The Titans.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, extremely. We know what Minnesota can do from a defensive standpoint. We know the fact that they're not going to have a whole lot of trouble going up against that Tennessee offense. The Tennessee defense is the one that's good, but I think that Minnesota's offense is better. Justin Jefferson hasn't found the end zone, I think, in three straight games. That's the longest streak of his career. I really think that Minnesota is going to try and get right in this football game, and I think that Minnesota is going to win by at least a touchdown. If this was over 7 points, I might have a little less confidence in this one. But Minnesota only given 6 at Tennessee. I like the Vikings.
Yeah, I think this is going to be kind of a tight game. I stayed away from this one myself. Titans defense is actually all right. Minnesota's kind of moving the other way. Levis actually played decent last week, too. Played all right, that Will Levis. This was a fade game for me. I didn't touch it. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm shying towards the Tennessee side. It not only like you mentioned, Jeremy, the Tennessee defense I think has been underrated in how well they've played. Other than the Lions game where they gave up like 52, they've actually played pretty well this year. It's Sam Darnold that's maybe starting to pumpkin 5 picks in his last 2 games. The Vikings only scored 12 points on the road against a terrible Jaguars defense. So on the road again for a second week against a better defense than they saw last week. I think the spread is too big. I like the Vikings to win, but I think the spread's too big.
Okay, fade me.
All right. We're at DNP on Minnesota and Tennessee. All right, first game I'm going to sell to you guys. I'm going to sell. Blanker's going to hate this. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers to go into the Windy City and roll the Chicago Bears. The Bears have been a dumpster fire. They have been tragic. They have fired their offensive coordinator. That's probably for the good. I don't see them getting a dead bear bounce against Green Bay. I think the Packers go into Chicago, crush the Bears, cover the 5.5 points, and roll.
This one scares me, as you know. I'm going to just let you guys decide this one because of the fact that I normally am cynically negative about the Green Bay Packers. I think they're going to win the football game. I don't know how healthy 1 week off is going to get Jordan Love. I don't know if when the honeymoon gets started for the first week, that the new offensive coordinator might be that one game where they try and they know that it's a big rivalry game that they can try and make a statement that this could be their big shining moment in an otherwise disastrous of a season. I don't like that spread. I think Green Bay is going to win the game, but I'll stay away and let you guys work this one out.
The Bears' pass defense I like, and I am concerned about Jordan Love's health, but I don't think you can fix the Bears' offense in a week. And I'm going to take the Packers' side of this. I'll go ahead and take Packers to cover the points because I just don't see the Bears' offense, a team that scored 3 points last week, got sacked 9 times, now going up against a better pass rush than the Packers. I don't see them getting right just yet, and I think the Packers cover this.
Let's go.
So what, how much? You guys got to decide it.
What do the Packers have a chance? Between you two guys. Like, go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go.
Yeah, go, Pack, go. Right, yeah.
What do you want to do, Jeremy? 30?
Yeah, I was thinking 100. 30's fine.
You want the organ to get you started? It's go, Pack, go. All the time.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm straight.
Well, you got it anyway. There you go.
30's fine. $30 is fine for the Green Bay Packers. All right, what game are you selling?
All right, my first game that I'm going to sell you is a wrong team favorite situation, and that is with the Cleveland Browns going to New Orleans, where the Browns are a +1 underdog. I like every part of the Browns team more than I do the Saints. I like their quarterback better, although both are pretty mediocre and will turn the ball over. But I like Jameis more. I like the Browns running game more now that Nick Chubb is back. Had a few games to get a little healthy. Had a bye week last week to rest up. And I like their receivers more. And I like their defense more. Wrong team favorite here. I think the Browns win this game and cover the
plus one. Can you say
that
when it's a one-point spread? Can you do the whole wrong team favored when the spread is one? I don't think you can pull off when it's a one-point spread. That's soft. That's soft.
Who's favorite?
Yeah, but wrong team favorites when you're like, okay, I'm going to take a 5-point dog. And it's just a soft wrong team is favored.
There's rules on this.
I'm assessing those rules. What do you think, Blankers? Break the tie.
I like New Orleans in this game at home. They
That's not what I meant. I meant for the argument.
Oh,
he doesn't care about your pick.
He's Switzerland.
You can bicker. I think that I would agree with Jeremy's side of the equation in the fact that if you're going to go wrong team favored, and the way Lee always does it so emphatically, it's normally
I guess we'll have to put
several
up
points.
Something in the room. Like, only if it's 4 points or more can you claim
a field goal or more. Wrong team favored here.
Like now I know the rules. Yeah.
That's the way Lee likes to go at it.
I like that. That's a good number. That's a good number, Blankers.
I like when Lee gets really emphatic when he does it too. Wrong team favored here. I just feel like New Orleans found a little energy and a little zip in their step. But, again, it's the same thing I might have been talking about with Chicago, only with the head coaching change.
Usually that bounce back getting, for a coach fired only last 1 week.
Brian's just going to answer the rest of this for me and take it from there. But
can't talk.
I think that my main concern is a home team should be favored by at least 3 in this kind of situation. It's scary. I don't really like this game. The one motivational point to go your guys' way is Jameis Winston, or at least Brian's way is Jameis Winston coming back to New Orleans. Probably wants to at least make a statement. Not that he got treated badly there; they probably saved him in a lot of ways. But I don't really feel good about this game. If I was going to bet it either way, I think I'd lean New Orleans.
Yeah, I stayed away from this one myself. I don't feel like betting on either team, quite frankly. Jameis Winston revenge game, I'm not here for it. Did he even play in New Orleans? Didn't he come into the game and he was supposed
he
to play on
something
a
when Breeze was
touchdown
hurt.
Or something like
that?
He
had like a 5-touchdown game as a New Orleans quarterback.
He threw 5 touchdowns in the
at least
Saints
he
game?
Had at least a 4-game touchdown. It might be 5. I think it was at least 4.
A 4-game touchdown sounds difficult to do. What's the next game that you're selling, Blankers?
I got the one that I want to believe in wholeheartedly that everybody does. I got the Houston Texans. It's 7.5 on this line. We'll go with it. DJ says by 3 scores. I'm hoping by 2 scores. I think it's at least by more than a touchdown. I like the Texans at Dallas to beat the Cowboys by 7.5.
Oh, you did it, huh?
I did. I was struggling. I was like, screw it. They need this win. This if they're not motivated here to really put a stomping down on the Cowboys, then they may never be, and I need to see it, so I'm going with the Texans.
Yeah, they've done nothing easy this year. They've done nothing easy, so I stayed away from it. I also don't want to be mad twice. They've done nothing easy. I don't want the Texans to, like, lose this game, then on top of that I lose money. I stayed away from this one. I could see this being a 7-point game, though. Like, if I had to pick one side of it, I'd probably pick the Texans. But I was this was an easy do not play, do not even think about it type of game.
Yeah, right. that extra 0.5 point worries me a little bit, as does all the Texans injuries on defense. All the DMPs we've seen for important players like Kamari Lassiter and Foley and Will Anderson. So I'm a little worried about the defense in this situation. But I'm going to side with Joel. I think, and maybe this is just a fan coming out, maybe a homer pick here, but I think the Texans have to get this season turned around, have to get the momentum a little back in their favor, and they come out with a big win and win by more than 7.5.
Okay, Brian, what do you want to do?
30?
30's fine. I was thinking 20, 25, but if you want to go 30, I can roll with it. $30 it is.
Gross.
It doesn't sound great. I knew that was going to happen. I like it more now, Brian.
I'm going to go with the wrong team as favored as Cincinnati goes into L.A. to take on the Chargers.
Can't
They're getting
it.
A point and a
it's
half.
Not four.
It's a half point
Can't
greater than yours.
Can't do it. It's
50% greater than yours. No, I was trolling you, actually. Cincinnati goes into L.A. They get the win outright. They're getting points here. They're getting a point and a half. I think they win the game outright as they continue their quest to playoff land. Bengals over the Chargers, plus 1.5.
Yeah, I look at this game, and I thought the Rams were going to beat the Dolphins. I think if the Rams were really focused and dialed in on playoffs, I thought that they would win that football game. I think Cincinnati is desperate. I think that their offense is never going to be the problem, and I don't know that the Rams have the solution, nor does maybe anybody on Ja'Marr Chase. But I think Burrow and Chase are clicking. I think they've got enough going on offense. It's just, you know, of the two defenses, who can stop the other team better? That's what worries me. But I also like I like Cincinnati in this game.
Yeah, make it unanimous. I was initially leaning towards the Chargers side because of how well their defense is playing, the game being in L.A. But with T. Higgins back, full complement of his top receivers for Joe Burrow, I will go with the Bengals side of this and take them to win outright.
My bad. I said Rams, Chargers. Yeah. If I did.
$78?
How much?
Sure. Mr. First Place, put your money where your mouth is. $78.
We're going to go big?
I co-sign.
Oh, wow. I guess I'm out.
You want to put a governor on us?
Yeah, I'd like to.
At 50?
I don't think that we should feel that confident. The Chargers, they do have some players on defense.
I want to bet 50? On first place. I want to bet on first place. So now it's 78. I think we should go higher.
Well, Jeremy, then you're the deciding factor now.
All right, $75.
All right, let's go.
$75 on the Cincinnati Bengals. I shared an elevator with Joe Burrow, so we have a tight connection. He'd never let me down.
I forgot about that. You guys are tight.
All
right, my next pick here that you guys will probably not take, but I think this is a right team favorite situation with the big game in the NFC North with the Ravens going to Pittsburgh as a 3-point favorite. This is quite simple for me. Obviously, I know Pittsburgh has a really good defense. They have a lot of things going their way. There's a reason why they've had as many wins this season as they do. I just don't trust Russell Wilson in a game this big. I know the Ravens' defense is terrible, but I will take the Ravens' offense to be far greater than the Steelers' offense, and I will take the Ravens to win by 5 points.
Yeah, I like the Ravens as well. I just think that at a certain point, Russell Wilson, the glass slipper, is going to slip off again. He's looked pretty good. Yeah, the Ravens' defense scares me, but, you know, Pittsburgh's going to have to hell of an effort to stop the what looks like another MVP season for Lamar Jackson. He's got more weapons. You know, Derrick Henry can run it down your throat as well. I just think Baltimore wins this game by more than a field goal, so I'm in on that.
Yeah, I like the Ravens to roll Pittsburgh. First divisional game for the Steelers. I think the Steelers are about to find out what's up in the AFC North. I think the Ravens win by at least a touchdown.
40?
I mean, we're all in agreement. Let's go 100.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you're in last, so we have to take in the last place.
And we've made money for the year. We don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I think we should go 40, 50. 40, 50, you call it.
Well, then 45
Let's go 40. He's in last place.
Okay.
I mean, if it was one of us, we'd probably go a hundo, but okay. It's not one of us.
You had the opportunity earlier. You settled at 75.
Talent. I don't think that worked well last week.
If BMAC was talent, maybe we'd go 50. But I've been kind of mean to Brian. I'm sorry. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for your car wreck of the day? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a word for the people at Allstate Siding and Windows. You can go to allstatesidingandwindows.com right now and see all the different ways that they can help you to do what you want to do to kind of put that kind of beautiful new touch to your house. Our houses are our biggest investment, and in a lot of times we need to take care of them as they take care of us. That means you want protection on the outside that also looks really, really good. That's why I tell you to go to Allstate Siding and Windows, because they are fantastic. They are the best in the business, and the people at Allstate are the best at what they do. The siding, you can get all the colors. You don't have to worry about the paint and all the other stuff that you have to deal with, and they are going to look fantastic, and they're going to absolutely be a hard shell of protection for your house. Windows, same way. We bought our new house a little over a year ago. First thing we did was put the new windows in. The Allstate people were great. They came to me, and the first thing that they did was make sure that they told me the right product, the right windows, because of the house that we had, the year it was built, the design, etc., and it was the perfect fit. That's why I'm telling you that if you call them, it's the right thing to do, because you can get 30% off a window job right now, $2,500 off a complete siding job. They have discounts for military personnel and all that. And the big thing is they do free estimates where they come to you and tell you exactly how they can help you, and you don't have to pay a thing. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936. They'll come to you and tell you exactly what they can do and the products that you should use. 832-204-1936, or look at all the products and services they offer at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is Ron Ansano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
I'm Frank Miller for Ron Ansano. Well, the markets finished out the week on a down note. The Dow off over 300 points. The S&P off around 80. The NASDAQ off over 400 points. The losses today came as investors remain concerned about the outlook for interest rates following recent comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Speaking in Dallas yesterday, the Fed chief said that the central bank does not need to be in a hurry to cut interest rates. In economic news, the Labor Department said there was an unexpected jump in import prices last month. Those were up 0.3%. Economists were looking for prices to drop 0.1%. Meanwhile, retail sales were up a little more than expected in October. The Census Bureau said that those were up 0.4%, mainly thanks to a jump in sales by motor vehicle and parts dealers. Retail sales estimated at around $719 billion last month, which is a little better than expected. Total sales from August to September were up 2.3% from last year. And in commodities, gold prices were lower, having about their worst week in more than 3 years, thanks to a stronger dollar and rising yields.
Underdog is a place to play if you're a sports fan looking to win money while watching sports. They've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from in their cash pick'em game. Just take a statistic and go higher or lower. You could win up to 1,000 times your original play. It's that simple. With Underdog's double flex option, you can even take 2 losses and still get a win on your entry. This season, Underdog will be running a special promo or bonus almost every single day, like profit boosts. Pump up your winnings in just a tap when you apply the boost to eligible entries. Discounts. You'll get adjusted projections on certain player stats to give you a better chance at a big W. Free picks. They're basically a sure thing. A player just has to get higher than 0.5 for that pick to win. Plus, all new users get a free pick. Download the app, sign up with promo code Lance, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Lance. Must be 18 or older in present state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Conservative your play. Call 800-GAMBLER or visit ncbgambling.org.
See website for details. Bill Sappin is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards. Rent is due. Bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to BillsHappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
Let's go!
Gallant and George, weekday afternoons from noon to 3.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You brick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Thanks to Drift Bar for having us out. They were fantastic. UFC 309 tomorrow. College football tomorrow. College basketball always until March. It's your spot to watch it all. Best patio in the Heights. Finally patio weather, so get out to the best patio in the Heights at Drift Bar. Take advantage of that. If you're booking a Christmas party, company party, have it at Drift Bar. You'll love it. where's the southern coast meets a true Texas ice house. It's fantastic. All right, let's get to car wreck of the day. Texter's asking, what happened to Mean Tex? It's the weirdest thing. No one said anything mean about us this week. It's bizarre. Really
they
weird.
They loaded up on Paul today, though. We just didn't have time to turn it around. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul got it a little bit today. Really unwarranted. I don't even know how it happened. I don't even know what started it. Maybe it was who said it, I think. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day today, Blankers?
Depending on what happens or doesn't happen tonight in the Tyson-Paul fight, Mike Tyson's still going to Mike Tyson. He did this interview, and if you hadn't heard it, you can go back. It's been on multiple shows today. But the girl must have been like 12, 13, 14 years old, just asking questions, trying to get experience as a broadcaster. And Tyson's dropping just F-bombs and basically taking her question. She was like, to leave your legacy? He goes, I don't give an F about my legacy. It's like, okay, Mike, this isn't like, yeah, you know, salty boxing reporter. This is just a kid. Slow down.
He was morbid today, or whenever he said that. He also has been talking about, like, he's like, yeah, my kids don't know who I am. Like, I'm nothing to my kids. Like, he's been kind of morbid lately. It's been kind of weird. I want to nominate for my car wreck of the day Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. They have to sit there and watch Saquon Barkley go off for a division rival, and it's probably going to cost them their jobs. So I nominate them for car wreck of the day. What do you got, Brian?
I'm going to nominate this idea to make an all-star game weekend tournament in the NBA. I've heard a lot of bad ideas recently, including the fight that's going to happen tonight. But trying to add more games to what's already a boring experience with the NBA all-star games, we don't need more NBA all-star. We need less.
Yeah.
What's winning
more? I think Tyson's winning. I hope it's scary for the right reasons in the ring, but that's bad stuff.
It's who he is, though. Who Tyson is. But I'll give it to Mike Tyson, so hopefully he only takes one L for the day. Hopefully that's his daily allotment. So, Mike Tyson, congratulations. You're our car wreck of the day. Now go win a fight, stupid thing that's going on. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian, onsite engineer. Thanks to AJ, producing. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Aggies basketball coming up at 7:30 on ESPN 97.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at OmahaSteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at OmahaSteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.